Today's New Testament reading is from John chapter 14, verses 18 to 27. You can follow along in your pew Bible if you'd like on page 983. I will not leave you orphaned. I am coming to you. In a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. They who have my commandments and keep them are those who love me, and those who love me will be loved by my Father, and I will love them and reveal myself to them. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will reveal yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered him, Those who love me will keep my word, and my Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine, but is from the Father who sent me. I have said these things to you while I am still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid.
Our Old Testament lesson this morning comes from Deuteronomy 1. This is part of Moses' farewell sermon. The Israelites are on the verge of the promised land, having wandered through the wilderness for a generation. And Moses recounts what happens when they encountered the new land. So hear now the word of God. Then, just as the Lord our God had ordered us, we set out from Horeb and went through all that great and terrible wilderness that you saw, on the way to the hill country of the Amorites, until we reached Kadesh Barnea. I said to you, you have reached the hill country of the Amorites, which the Lord our God is giving to us. See, the Lord your God has given the land to you. Go up, take possession, as the Lord, the God of your ancestors, has promised you. Do not fear or be dismayed. All of you came to me and said, Let us send people ahead of us to explore the land for us and bring back a report to us regarding the route by which we should go up and the cities we will come to. The plan seemed good to me, and I selected 12 of you, one from each tribe. They set out and went up into the hill country, and when they reached the valley of Eshcol, they spied it out and gathered some of the land's produce, which they brought down to us. They brought back a report to us and said, It is a good land that the Lord our God is giving us. But you were unwilling to go up. You rebelled against the command of the Lord your God. You grumbled in your tents and said, It is because the Lord hates us that he has brought us out of the land of Egypt to hand us over to the Amorites to destroy us? Where are we headed? Our kindred have made our hearts melt by reporting, The people are stronger and taller than we. The cities are large and fortified up to heaven. We actually saw there the offspring of the Anakim. I said to you, Have no dread or fear of them. The Lord your God who goes before you is the one who will fight for you, just as he did for you in Egypt before your very eyes, and in the wilderness where you saw how the Lord your God carried you, just as one carries a child, all the way that you traveled until you reached this place. But in spite of this, you have no trust in the Lord your God, who goes before you on the way to seek out a place for you to camp, in fire by night and in the cloud by day, to show you the route you should take. This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Holy One, we call upon your Spirit now in this place and ask that you quiet within us any voice but your own. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. We pray that you speak now, O Lord, for we, your servants, are listening. Amen. There's a scene in that classic movie, The Wizard of Oz, where Dorothy is swept up by a tornado. And when she wakes up, she is no longer in the black and white world of her family home, but in a technicolor land filled with plants and short singing munchkins and other strange sights. She turns to her little dog and says, "Toto, I've got a feeling we're not in Kansas anymore." We're not in Kansas anymore. That's what the Israelites are feeling as they are gathered on the plain as Moses gives his farewell sermon. They are in the wilderness, having left Egypt, and now they are on the verge of the promised land, just about to enter after struggling through the wilderness for 40 years. They've been walking towards this promise for a very long time. You would think that they might welcome the future in front of them, but yet they are filled with confusion and fear. Moses tells the story of what happened. The Israelites were on the verge of approaching the promised land, and they decided that they should read the landscape to be better prepared for what they would encounter. So they did what good Presbyterians do. They formed a committee. Moses appointed a group of 12, one from each of the tribes, to go up and investigate. And the 12 came back with samples of the produce of the land and a full report about the landscape and the cities and the people. They said, "It is a good land that the Lord our God is giving us. The future looks bright. There is promise on the horizon." And the people received this report not with trust and gratitude, but with suspicion and fear. The people say, "It is because God hates us that he has brought us out of the land of Egypt to destroy us. Where are we headed?" They made our hearts melt when they said, "The people are taller and stronger than we. The cities are large and fortified up to heaven." Now, did you notice something unusual about what those people said? Where did they get that report? Did you notice that that's not what the leaders said? The committee said, "It is a good land that the Lord our God is giving us." They gave an encouraging report. But the people heard something very different. They did not trust the word of their friends. Instead, they were listening through fear. And fear distorts how we hear, how we see, and how we understand. In this case, fear made it impossible for them to trust the people that they had chosen to lead them. They didn't trust their leaders. They didn't trust the future. And they didn't trust God as the author of it all. And so they asked a corrosive question. Where are we headed? Now, that question by itself might be a fair question, but in this context, it betrays their lack of trust. Where are we headed? It's an accusation. Where are you taking us? Do you have any idea what you're doing? You're making our hearts melt. The people's ability to hear and to see and to understand is distorted by their fear. And in part, that fear is a response to a new reality. They find themselves in a different landscape, a long way from where they have come, and on the cusp of an unknown future. And that is terrifying. Where are we headed? This new landscape, simply because it is different, leaves them longing to return to Egypt, the place of hard labor and servitude. They would rather return to known misery than an unknown promise. In their imagination, captivity in Egypt wasn't so bad after all. It was surely preferable to the unknown and unbounded possibility in front of them. Where are we headed? That question is hanging in the air. So what does Moses do? Moses doesn't answer the question directly. He could have pulled out a map or given some directions. Well, we're going to go 2 miles to the rock and turn left and keep going. That's where we're headed. Or Moses could have been exasperated. He could have said, how many times do I have to tell you? The promised land. That's where we're headed. The promised land. But he doesn't do that. Instead, he responds to this question with a memory and a promise. He recounts their history with God. Moses says, do not be afraid, because it is God who goes before you. The same God who protected you in Egypt and the wilderness, the God who carried you like a child all of the way that you traveled, the God who is with you now, the God who goes ahead of you to show you the way. For Moses, memory is what will enable the people to live into a new future. It is the memory of God's faithfulness in the past that provides reassurance of God's faithfulness in the time to come. And it's specifically the memory of God's faithfulness through times of change. In deliverance from Egypt, in navigating the wilderness, through all of that, it was God who carried you like a child. And all along the way, God was calling the people into a new reality, out of Egypt, through the wilderness, into the promised land. We're not in Kansas anymore. That's what the disciples of Jesus are beginning to feel. This morning's gospel lesson comes from Jesus' farewell sermon to his disciples the night before he is betrayed and put to death. Jesus is trying to prepare them for a future that they do not expect and cannot yet understand. And Jesus speaks in language that leaves them a little bit puzzled. He says, in a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. And Judas asks, Lord, how is it that you will reveal yourself to us and not to the world? In other words, where are you headed and where are we headed? How will this be? Now, like Moses, Jesus doesn't give a straight answer, but he replies to this question with a memory and a promise. He says, I have said these things to you while I am with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. Jesus is preparing the disciples for a new reality, and he does so with the promise that God will continue to be with them in the presence of the Holy Spirit, who will teach them and remind them of everything that has come before. Jesus offers them no details about what life will be like beyond the resurrection, and the disciples have no way to anticipate what is about to happen. Yet Jesus encourages them to trust the promise, knowing that God has been and will continue to be with them. He says, do not let your hearts melt. Do not be troubled or afraid. Peace I give to you. My peace I leave with you. We're not in Kansas anymore. Do you ever feel that way? The disorienting sense that your surroundings are not familiar or are changing faster than you'd like? Do you ever ask of your job or your family or your life, where are we headed? It's a question that many people in our country are asking these days. I hear a version of that question on cable TV every day and read it in the headlines of newspapers and see it all over my Facebook feed. It comes from the political right, left, and center. Where are we headed? We are living in a tumultuous time with global instability and uncertainty about the future, with polarizing political rhetoric, and with rapid change happening at almost every level of society, and also within the church. And if you listen regularly to the voices of commentators, news anchors, and politicians, you will hear them practically delight in this question, where are we headed? As they make it an accusation of their opponents, who are presumably leading us in the wrong direction. Of course, it's not hard to give in to despair. 31 dead last week between the shootings in El Paso and Dayton. A shooting closer to home at a horse farm in New Jersey. And hundreds of other tragedies and domestic disputes that did not make the news but still struck terror in the hearts of those who were afflicted. Where are we headed? I believe that God deeply grieves these tragedies, for it is not the flourishing life that God intends for all humanity. Not for the gunmen, whose minds and hearts are twisted with hatred, addled by social isolation, and certainly not for the victims of such senseless and unacceptable violence. So what does the gospel say on days like these? Where are we headed? It doesn't provide a pie-in-the-sky hope that all will be well, as if we could simply bury our head in the sand and ignore the dark realities that fill the daily news. Yet the gospel calls us to set our sights on a different reality. Jesus says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not let them be afraid." These are not words of Pollyanna hope. Jesus speaks these words on the eve of his execution. He says them to Peter, who's about to deny him three times. And he speaks them after Judas has departed into the dark night to go hand him over to the authorities. "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not let them be afraid." Jesus faces the brutal reality of the world and betrayal by his closest friends, and yet offers to them and to us an audacious promise. As Christian people, you and I have a different lens for looking at the world than undue despair. The truth is that the situation in our world is not that different from the Israelites on the cusp of an unknown future, or the disciples on the eve of a day that would change their world forever. We cannot know what tomorrow will bring, but just like the Israelites, just like the disciples of Jesus, you and I have a memory and a promise. For over 300 years, the people of God have gathered here in the meeting house to proclaim this promise and testify to God's faithfulness. Now, that's a lot of years of memories. Memories of God's faithfulness in this place through many changing landscapes. Lots of things have changed in this congregation since 1698, even since 1968, even since 2008. But what hasn't changed is that God is still at work here in Lawrenceville. And that promise is rooted not in changing landscapes or political realities or even in our own belief. That promise is rooted in who God is. So much of the rhetoric that is tossed around today in public debate is about fear. Fear of immigrants and other nations, fear of the poor, fear of the rich, fear of Republicans, fear of Democrats, fear of them, whoever they are. In this kind of environment, the church, this church, has something very important to say. We have a memory and a promise. And the heart of that promise is the only antidote to fear that works. It's not reason, it's not logic, it's not power, it's love. Love is the only thing that can cast out fear. And that love is the foundation of our peace. That's what Jesus was saying to his disciples, and what Jesus says to you and to me. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not let them be afraid. People of God, hear the good news. The future looks bright because it is God's future. It is indeed a good land that the Lord our God is giving to us. Thanks be to God. Amen.